Ezekiel chapter 16. I want to discourage you before I get into preaching. Mike, you weren't here last Sunday night, but we looked at all of chapter 15. There were only 8 verses, chapter 15. And it actually did shorten my message by a few minutes. Not too many, but a few. Tonight, there are a few more verses than 8. 63 to be exact. And we will cover every single one of them. Yes, you will make work tomorrow. Now, here's the encouraging part. It won't take me much longer than it did last week. The text itself is pretty much self-explanatory. There really is no need for a whole lot of commentary in it. The message is simple. It's a parable. It's a story. It's very easy to understand. So it'll take me just enough time to read the passage. The application will come forth really, really quickly, and we'll be done. Ezekiel 16, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. Now, what he's doing here is he's going to give a history of the nation, particularly that of Jerusalem. The mother and father are not persons. These were the inhabitants when the children of Israel came into it. As for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all, which is what they normally did with little babies that are born. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. Thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. The nations around them didn't care for Israel at all. And when I passed by and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. A baby girl was born. Baby girl is Israel. It is going to become the wife of Jehovah. Verse 7 speaks of the maturing process. Abraham came in to Israel with Sarah. They were there for a time. The nations around them didn't care for them. They went down into Egypt, and now they're maturing and they're coming back into the land. And God is going to marry Israel, so to speak. He's drawing up a marriage covenant, which will be the Mosaic covenant, that will wed the two together. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee and anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. And I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thou wast decked with gold and silver. And thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful. Thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth, among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Here is Israel, they get back up. God says, I've taken thee to myself, and I am going to bless you beyond measure. And Israel became a beautiful nation in the sight of God. Not the nations around her, but Israel was walking in the statutes of the Lord, especially during the time of King David and the first part of Solomon's rule. Verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and played the harlot because of thy renown, and poured out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and decked thy high places with diverse colors, played the harlot thereupon, and like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels, and my gold, and my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and took thy broidered garments, and covered them. Thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? As I said, up till the middle of Solomon's reign, everything was good. But what happened to Solomon? He attracted all those foreign women, and they corrupted his heart from serving the Lord. And consequently, the nation followed after him. And everything that God gave, they started devoting to idols, paganism. They were playing a spiritual harlot, adulterer. Verse 21, thou hast slain my children, delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire, and all thine abominations and thy whoredoms thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in my blood. If you were only remembered what I had done to you, and come to your senses. And it came to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hath made thee a high place in every street, that hast built thy high place in every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and has increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thy eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thy high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot, and that thou hast scornest Tyre. Talking about their political associations. Rather than trusting in God for their protection, whom God promised he would do that, well, let's make allies with Egypt. They can bring their armies up there and they'll protect us. Well, that didn't work out so well. Let's try the Assyrians. Well, that didn't work out so well. Let's try the Chaldeans. Well, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they're the ones that are going to come and take them into captivity. Instead of trusting God, they're trusting all these different nations and paying them off with the things that God gave Israel. Verse 32, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And in thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Look, this is what you've done. Here's what I'm going to do. Thus saith the Lord God, because of thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thine abominations, by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. I'm going to embarrass you politically, militarily, in front of all these other nations that you tried to find alliances with. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand. And they shall stir down thine eminent place, shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no more hire to any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry. I'm going to judge you, and it will cure you of your sin, of idolatry. And by the way, it did. When they came back from the Babylonian captivity, they never practiced the idolatry that they practiced before it, and have not since. Verse 43. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things, behold, therefore, I will recompense thy way unto thy head, saith the Lord God. Thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. It's the female counterpart to like father, like son. Well, Israel was the wife of Jehovah, so they need the female counterpart. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. Thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husband and their children. The sisters here are going to be the northern kingdom of Samaria, or Israel to the north. And he's also going to include the city of Sodom and the cities of the plain around Sodom, because that was in Israelite territory. Both which, at this point in time, Sodom was destroyed and Samaria was taken by the Assyrians in 722 B.C., and thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at the right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet thou hast not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But if that were a very little thing, thou was corrupted more than they in all thy ways. You saw what they did, and you even did it worse. You saw what happened to them, and it didn't bother you. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Some have tried to say, well, see, that was what God destroyed Sodom for. It wasn't the homosexual thing. No, this is what led to the homosexual thing. And they were haughty and had and committed abomination before me. Well, that there it is. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither has Samaria committed half of thy sins. Thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sister, bear thine own shame for thy sins, that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, and that thou hast justified thy sister. Can you imagine five cities destroyed by fire because of an abomination committed was more righteous than Israel? How bad was their sin? I mean, we are talking bad. But at verse 53, something changes. Wherefore, or when, I shall bring again their captive... Wait a minute. You're going to bring again? You're going to allow them to return? The captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former state, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former state, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. Reconciliation. Redemption. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thine lewdness and thine abomination, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath and breaking the covenant. The covenant here is the marriage covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. Abrahamic covenant. An unconditional, eternal covenant. And I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant, the new covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thy elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee, for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. There's coming a day when our marriage is going to be what it was meant to be. That's what God says to Israel. And after 70 years of captivity, what did God do? He brought them back from Babylon. Well, all's well that ends well, right? Sometimes. Problem is, did it end? Did Israel return into that love relationship with God? What happens when we as the church forsake our ways and forget how much God loves us and go off into sin? Does the love of God ever stop? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Might be a good thing if someone sometime goes through this book. First, five chapters, first three chapters, Paul enunciates the doctrine of sin. We're all sinners. Wages of sin is death. Chapters 4 and 5, he deals with God's love in providing salvation. Chapters 6 and 7 deal with the application of how we should live in that love of God. In chapter 8, he asks a question at the end of the chapter. Verse 35, Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is that great. But Paul says, I am persuaded. Okay, Paul, that works for you. But what about me? How can I be persuaded? Paul, can you give me an example of God's love of a entity, a person, or an entity that fell into sin and the love of God didn't depart from it? Chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Now remember when Paul was writing this, probably early 50s A.D. About 20 years prior to that, Israel, the returned people from their idolatry that had experienced the redeeming love of God, what did they do to their Messiah? Crucified him. Babylonian captivity, strike one. Crucifixion of Christ, strike two. Now they're on the outs again. 70 AD, they're going to be dispersed again. And he says, I wish they could be saved. Drop on down to chapter 10, verse 1. He says the same thing. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They're in bad shape. Will Paul's prayer ever be answered? Chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, that you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, not partial blindness, but blindness, total blindness in part of Israel. Not all of Israelites, but part of the Israelites are totally blind. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. When is that? Tribulation days. And so shall all Israel be saved. Wait a minute. All Israel shall be saved then. Well, what has happened then? Strike one, Babylonian. Strike two, crucifixion of Christ. Acceptance of the Antichrist as Messiah. That's strike three. You're out! Not in God's economy. For as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God called Abraham, gave to Abraham a covenant, and what he's saying here is he's not going to renege on it. For God has concluded, verse 32, them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You want an example of how you cannot be separated from the love of God? Look at the nation of Israel. By the way, look at it today. The world is still hating it. God says, I won't let you go. Now, what do we learn from this? Two things I want you to get out of this tonight. Number one, the love of God is not to be taken for granted. I think that's what Israel did. Hey, God loves us. Look at all these good things. I can do whatever I want. We are to love him. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Because he first loved us. There we were, like Israel, naked, unlovable, and God commended his love toward us. Failure to really love him by loving other things brings really bad consequences. Look at the nation of Israel today. Why is it suffering? Had they trusted Christ 2,000 years ago, this would not be going on today. Number two, the love of God is not to be forgotten. It's not to be taken for granted, but it's not to be forgotten. No matter how bad we may fail in loving him, he will always remain true to those he has covenanted with a covenant of salvation. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Let's pray. Father, we are totally undeserving, and you are totally wonderful. We thank you tonight for sending your Son to wash away our sins, for displaying your love to us and showering us with good things like eternal life, and calling us to yourself in a love relationship that will never end. Lord, may we never take it for granted. May we never forget it. And be thankful all the days of our life till we get to see you face to face and tell you once again how much we love you. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Have a good week.